Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 64 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
We're seeing pockets in this state where these opiate-addicted mothers can range up from 70 to 75%, and in some places, 80% of the babies are being born to opiate-addicted mothers. So it's a huge issue.
Secretary of the Cabinet for Health and Family Services, Vicki Glisson, says that means the Cabinet will be working with lawmakers for some time to come on strategies to deal with the problem.
Spending on Kentucky's Medicaid program continues to grow with no end in sight.
And Moorhead is losing its city planner.
In sports, Round County's girls basketball team is back in action tomorrow against Lewis County.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy tonight, lows around 55 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
An 18-year-old Louisa resident is one of two men who has been indicted in West Virginia for the May 2016 murder of a coal company executive. WSAZ is reporting that a grand jury in Mingo County indicted Brandon Fitzpatrick and 20-year-old Anthony Arega of Gibsonburg, Ohio, in the death of Ben Hatfield. Police say Hatfield was visiting his wife's grave at Mountain View Memory Gardens Cemetery in Williamson when he was shot to death and robbed. Fitzpatrick and Arega were both indicted on first-degree murder charges.
A Russell man is facing child pornography charges. According to WSAZ, 67-year-old Stephen Preston was arrested yesterday afternoon by Kentucky State Police. Preston is charged with distribution of a matter portraying sexual performance by a minor, first offense possessing and viewing matter portraying sexual performance by a minor. He remains in custody in the Greenup County Detention Center.
The Rowan County School Board has moved a step closer to the possible construction of a $1.1 million multi-purpose athletic complex at the high school. School Superintendent Marvin Moore says the board has submitted forms to the state that would clear the way for accepting bids on the project.
If KDE's approved that, that allows us to do that, and we authorize our architect, Ross Tunnett, to go ahead and put the bids out as soon as KDE signs off. And it's just basically a movement to move ahead for the project.
Moore says once bids are received, the school board will be able to determine if it can follow through with the project.
The Lawrence County Board of Education may enact a tax hike to help fund a building project. MSPR's Chaz Jenkin reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the recallable nickel tax would add 5 cents per $100 of valuation to the county's property tax. That means a homeowner with a house valued at $50,000 would be taxed another $25 per year. The tax increase is expected to net the Lawrence County School District an additional $470,000 a year in revenue. State law requires the money be used for building projects. The district wants to build a replacement for the aging Louisa West Elementary School. The Lawrence School Board is expected to further discuss the proposed increase at its meetings in February and March. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
When building new stations for the city's police and fire departments, Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent refers to the old real estate adage, it's about location, location, location. While there are available lots around town where those facilities could be constructed, Trent says other things involving that situation need to be considered.
Where you're going to have occupational taxes, you're going to have the construction, you're going to have all the different things that will come out of that positively. So, you know, that's another thing. You want to have a good centrally located place that'll help your town, but you also don't want to take up some places that could help economic development.
Trent says the city will likely build separate new facilities for its police and fire departments. He'd like to see the locations for them to be identified in the coming months. The cost of the projects is expected to be around $4.5 million.
Moorhead is losing its city planner. The Moorhead News is reporting that the man who has held the position for the past 11 years is resigning effective January 31st. Joe Parsons starts a new job in Frankfort February 1st. He has accepted a position with the Kentucky Housing Corporation. Parsons says he'll be conducting inspections on the KHC's various projects and properties.
They review their plans in accordance with the documentation that they have. It'll still be some... A lot of it falls back to the building code, but they do have some guidelines for Kentucky Housing that we'll have to learn a little bit of and the things that they want in that, and I'll have to take care of all that for them.
Parsons' duties with Moorhead over the past decade have included building inspector, alcohol and beverage control administrator, and code enforcement officer.
The Augusta City Council may be meeting in a new location soon, MSPR's Tilden Johnson reports.
The newly elected City Council discussed several issues in its first meeting as a group. Among them was where it would meet in the future. The hope is to relocate to the Clooney Community Center, which has better accessibility for the disabled. City Council currently holds its meetings on the second floor of the Augusta City Hall, which is only accessible by stairs. Council members also talked about other problems and solutions, such as amending a recent ordinance so that a temporary sign could be placed near the Augusta Ferry Ramp. The arrest of 6 ATV and dirt bike riders who have been terrorizing the town, and the building of an emergency plan for the city in the event of a train derailment. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
According to a recent report issued by the University of Kentucky, Round County's animal shelters ranks as one of the state's best. The UK study was published last month. It rated the 92 animal shelters in the Commonwealth's 120 counties based on their service and compliance with Kentucky laws. Round's Tri-County shelter ranked among the top 18. Judge Executive Walter Blevins is pleased by that, saying the shelter has made a difference in reducing Round's problems with stray dogs and cats since it opened in 2012.
We think it has. We're not seeing as many stray dogs. Of course, we take dogs not only from Round County, but also from, I think, some from Fleming, but mainly the majority of other dogs come from Carter County. And, of course, we were a Tri-County initially. And we're seeing, I think, some good things happen.
According to Blevins, the work of the county's animal protection groups, Star and Cats Meow, have also helped improve Round's problems with strays.
If he is confirmed as the next U.S. Secretary of Energy, Rick Perry says he will visit the Portsmouth gaseous diffusion plant. He made the commitment Thursday during his confirmation hearing in Washington. He was questioned by Ohio Senator Rob Portman. The Republican asked Perry if he'd come to the site and see if it was possible to expedite cleanup of the facility or consider other uses for it.
I'd love for you to see this site. It's a couple thousand acres. As I've told you, it has incredible infrastructure, electricity and water. It would be a great site for a future plant, including a power plant, including a nuclear power plant. The community is very supportive. Would you commit to come out and to see this yourself, to see the huge investment that Department of Energy has made into this facility?
Senator, I will commit to that, and I will suggest that you know how to get a hold of me if I don't show up on a timely basis for you.
About 1,800 people have been employed at the Southern Ohio plant as part of the decontamination and decommissioning process.
The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has granted Kentucky a brief extension that gives the state more time to meet the requirements of the Real ID Act. Haley Hansen reports.
Federal agencies, including military bases, were slated to stop accepting Kentucky driver's licenses by the end of this month because the state has not complied with the federal Real ID Act. But the U.S. Department of Homeland Security announced it has granted the state an extension through June 6th. The state still has until next January to comply with the Real ID law. Otherwise, Kentuckians will not be able to use their driver's licenses to board domestic flights. I'm Haley Hansen.
Nearly one in three Kentuckians is in the state's Medicaid program, and the cost of providing those health care services is consuming every new dollar of revenue coming into the Commonwealth, so says Kentucky's Medicaid Commissioner Steve Miller. In fact, Miller says Medicaid is costing Kentucky slightly more than the new revenues it is expected to receive during the current two-year budget cycle. He says projections are that new tax receipts generated through fiscal 2018 will total $585 million. The Medicaid program, he points out, will cost $587 million over the same period.
It crowds out so many other expenditures and makes education and other expenditures so difficult as well. That same scenario, the dollars may vary a little, but that same sort of scenario will be in place over the next two-year budgets as well.
Miller says approximately 1.4 million Kentuckians receive Medicaid services.
Marshall University is receiving a $1.3 million grant from the Appalachian Regional Commission to train community health workers in coal counties in eastern Kentucky, southern Ohio, and parts of West Virginia. U.S. Representative Evan Jenkins of West Virginia announced the grant in a news release for the Marshall University Resource Corporation. He says a team from Marshall will help train more than two dozen new community health workers. Participating health care partners are in McGoffin, Martin, and Pike counties in Kentucky, Athens, Meigs, and Washington counties in Ohio, and Clay, Harrison, and Upshur and Webster counties in West Virginia.
The Secretary of the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services says her agency and state lawmakers will have to contend with the opioid abuse issue in the Commonwealth for some time. Vicki Yates Brown Glisson testified Wednesday before a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort.
Here in Kentucky, we have twice, we're like, if the babies that are being born in the state, those babies are twice as likely than any other state to have to be born to an opiate-addicted mother.
In some parts of Kentucky, Glisson says 75% to 80% of the babies being born have drug-addicted mothers.
The Appalachian Regional Commission has approved a $100,000 grant for Operation Unite to continue fighting drug abuse in southern and eastern Kentucky. U.S. Representative Hal Rogers says the funding will help expand the organization's impact. The Kentucky Republican says Operation Unite's approach to curb addiction has become a national model. Rogers helped launch Unite in 2003. The competitive grant includes $50,000 from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Rogers' office says Unites has committed $25,000 in matching funds for the grant program. The congressman's office says the funding will be used to strengthen Unites' plan to reflect the rapid changes in drug trends.
Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell says he's been meeting with now President Donald Trump over the past several weeks to talk about getting the president's cabinet nominees confirmed and scaling back some government regulations. The Republican is also the Senate's majority leader, and he believes those rules have hampered business in the bluegrass state.
The conspicuous example of that is what was done to the coal industry. We hope to be able to undo a significant portion of that governmental abuse. So these are the kinds of things I've been talking about.
McConnell spoke with the Kentucky News Network. He was in Washington today for the inauguration of the 45th president.
The list of 26 women who will take part in an annual program that trains Democratic women to run for political office in Kentucky has been announced. Ellen Cartmill of Maysville, Elizabeth Davis from Mount Sterling, and Lauren Tusey of Catlettsburg are among those taking part in Emerge Kentucky's initiative. Executive Blair Hayden says her organization says those in the program are chosen after a thorough application process.
It is pretty lengthy. They talk about the reasons that they would like to run for office, if they know what they might want to run for. Amongst the applications, we sort of screen those and choose a number of women to interview with us. They're interviewed by members of our board and alumni members. So it is a pretty lengthy and pretty detailed process.
Those accepted into Emerge Kentucky will be trained in public speaking, fundraising, campaign strategy, and several other political dealings. And taking a look at your forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight mostly cloudy skies with lows near 55 degrees. Saturday, warm, mostly cloudy skies, isolated showers, highs around 65 degrees, chance of rain is at 40%. Saturday night, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms, lows around 48 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. And Sunday, cloudy with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms, highs around 69 degrees. It is currently 66 degrees in Ashland, 62 degrees in Flemingsburg, 66 in Inez, 63 in Lexington and Winchester, and 64 degrees in Moorhead.
The time is 4:43. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Stay tuned at 5 o'clock for All Things Considered. I'm Samantha Morrill here with Courtney Howell, and we're glad to be with you this Friday afternoon. On our feature segment, we have commentary from Moorhead State University professor John Modaff. He's opening the mailbag and fielding questions about the White House, puppies, and other pressing matters.
Although certain ideas appear crazy to some and visionary to others, inspiring to some, offensive to others, these ideas often go uncontrolled for a while when a new communication technology emerges. The relatively sudden availability of the World Wide Web is such an instance. The effusiveness of the web has stirred fear in people who fear that rancid ideas will take hold, or that good ideas will be obscured. Perhaps we fear the bloody knuckles of coarse speech because it might appeal to the worst sides of our animal minds. The fear is founded on the capacity of vile ideas to spread, and so censorship is a constant effort somewhere, but might be an error when it comes to the Internet, as it has been since the commonplace books of ancient times. While with each passing moment the strictures of online speech are tightening, let us grant that for the most part, the World Wide Web has been a monstrous coffee house where all sorts of voices have been saying all sorts of things. A true and free intellectual Wild West with all of the folderol one might expect mixed in with the brilliance and beauty. While this has been happening, the nearly unfettered access vile creeds such as that of racist groups have had every opportunity to catch fire. But all they've done is carve off a corner in a corner and then wile to one another in the ebbing shadows as the web bursts with creativity and community, dismissing hatred and the villains that post therein as so much old coffee grounds. Let's remember this. When luxuriated with an unlimited, low-cost, open-access, worldwide, immediate, unregulated, and unfettered channel, most people nevertheless reject what hatred and vile intentions are expressed online, all on their own. They did not need regulators with narrow interests deciding what was right or too risky to read. We users chose to continue as if the haters were just what they are, an infinitesimal byproduct of a great expanding edifice of creativity. We do not need information regulators. We do not need parents as we browse. We paid for this thing. The web is made of the dollars we've been spending for 20 years. Thousands of dollars each. We'd never have dreamed of spending on such things not so many years ago, and now it's been declared too rich for us, as if we could not choose our own food. Maybe that's next. Maybe someone will look at all of our choices at the grocery store and say, hey, this unregulated selection of food contains a lot of really bad stuff. We'd better step in and have it regulated, or better yet removed, or reserved for those people we deem fit to consume it. Sound good?
Hell,
I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. Time is 4:47. Nathan Gutierrez has sports. He's coming up next.
To start things off, the Round County girls basketball team is back in action on Saturday after getting most of the week off when they host Lewis County. With four players missing games in the month of January due to the flu and two starters suffering ACL injuries, it's been an up-and-down year for the 7-10 Lady Vikings. But head coach Elaine Douglas says her team hopes to build off Monday's win against Belfry, but that won't be an easy task against Lewis County.
They play hard. They're very well coached. We beat them earlier in the season, but they've improved and been able to keep, consistent team on the floor. So it's going to be another challenge for us to see, what we've done and if we have improved with the obstacles we've had to go through.
On the boys, Lewis County is 12-5 on the year. And on the boys' side of things, rather, Coach Sean Thacker and his Vikings will have a road contest against West Carter on Monday at 7:30. The Morehead State men's basketball team is getting set for host arch rival Eastern Kentucky at Johnson Arena on Saturday. After earning their first road win of the season last night over Austin Peay, 89-82, interim coach Preston Spradlin says his guys are looking forward to battle with EKU.
Anticipate having a really, really good crowd. The crowds lately at the AAC have been just tremendous, and now we've got our students coming back. I know they're excited about our guys. They got things buzzing a little bit on campus right now. And really excited for that. I don't know a lot about Eastern Kentucky. I'll watch them a little bit tonight as we head home, and then we'll get in the gym tomorrow and we'll prepare for them.
MSU is now 8-11 on the year and 4-2 in the OVC. EKU will check into Johnson Arena on Saturday with an 8-13 record this season. Tip-off is set for 7:45. The Morehead State women's basketball team will also host conference opponent Eastern Kentucky tomorrow at 5:30. MSU is 14-5 on the year and 4-2 in OVC play. The Colonels are 7-11 overall and 4-1 on their OVC schedule. The most anticipated podcast in Kentucky history is released. Will Clark has more.
John Calipari and Rick Pitino talked about books, the rivalry, and made mention of Andre McGee and the Minardi Hall scandal on Calipari's CalCast.
You know, if I have 29 that have gone on to prosperity and doing a great job, and one went the wrong way, well, I've got to be accountable for that one person and feel very saddened that he did the wrong thing.
Referring to the rivalry, Calipari said walking off the court after this year's game was miserable, to which Pitino replied, "How would you like to live with being 1-8? I'm Will Clark.
Coach Cal and his Wildcats will be back in action tomorrow at Rupp Arena to host number 24, South Carolina, at 6 p.m. After last night's 92-60 win over Clemson, the 12th-ranked Louisville basketball team now travels to do battle with number 10 Florida State on Saturday. The Cardinals are now 16-3 on the year, but head coach Rick Pitino says they are in for a big challenge tomorrow, with a late game last night and point guard Quentin Snyder still out with a hip injury.
Well, it's really going to show the effects. Have to go to Florida State, who does not allow you to run one single play. They deny the high post, they deny the wings, and we've got less. Normally we would go double sessions just to go over what they do. We can't because of the late game. So we're going into a heck of a basketball game.
Florida State is 17-2 this year and will be out to end U of L's four-game winning streak. With the conference championship coming up this weekend in Atlanta, the Green Bay Packers are still unsure of the status of injured receivers Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, and Geronimo Allison. Head coach Mike McCarthy says that all three players will be given a chance to play, even if that means waiting until Sunday to decide.
They have work to do, you know, particularly in the area of rehab between now and the game. If we know tomorrow, we'll know tomorrow. If we know Sunday, we'll know Sunday. I'm going to give these guys the open time frame to do everything they can to play.
Kickoff is set for Sunday at 3:05 p.m. The Morehead State softball team gets their new campaign underway 3 weeks from today with the tournament at Kennesaw State. Head coach David Williams says he thinks his team's pitching staff will earn his club a lot of wins this season.
I feel really good about our pitchers. We've got some experience, and they're working hard. Threw well through the fall, and they've been throwing well since we've been back after Christmas, and really feel good about where they're going to go. As long as the defense plays behind them and the offense provides them some run support, I think we'll get a lot of wins in the circle.
The softball Eagles get things started with a battle against St. Louis at 10 a.m. on February 10th. And finally, for today in sports, with opening day less than a month away, the Morehead State baseball team is in full preseason mode. Head coach Mike McGuire says his Eagles are in the midst of individual workouts and will hopefully get into team practices before the end of the month.
We'll do individual work for 2 weeks and then start team practice. We start team practice 3 weeks to the day prior to opening day. So, you know, for us, sometimes individual work and team practice, depending on the weather, aren't that much different.
The baseball Eagles get the season started on February 17th against Jacksonville University in Jackson, Mississippi. That will conclude your sports report. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will host a doubleheader with Eastern Kentucky University tomorrow. The women's game begins at 5:30 and the men tip off at 7:45. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher in choppy trade after Donald Trump took a protectionist tone in his first speech as president, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 94.85 and 18,827.25. The S&P 500 was up 7.62 at 2271.31, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 15.25 to finish at 5555.33. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 9-5 in favor of winning stocks over losers. And, of course, the broader stock market has rallied significantly since Trump's shocking electoral victory on the hopes of more government spending, lower corporate taxes, and deregulation of some sectors. Stocks, however, have traded mostly sideways for the past month or so as investors look for more details about Trump's proposed policies. Many analysts feel that the Trump administration will have to start delivering on these expectations for stocks to remain at current lofty levels. Overseas, European equities traded mostly flat ahead of the inauguration, with the pan-European stock 600 index falling just slightly less than 0.1%. In Asian, stocks closed mixed as the Korean Kospi fell about 0.3%, while the Shanghai Composite advanced almost 0.75%. In corporate news, earnings season continues as Dow Components GE and Procter & Gamble both reported quarterly results. GE posted in-line earnings per share, while revenue came in slightly below estimates. Procter & Gamble's results topped estimates on both the top and bottom lines. GE stock was down 2.2%, whereas Procter & Gamble finished up over 3%. Oil was up over 2%, and gold finished down about 0.5%. And among Dow stocks today, Merck and Procter & Gamble were your two best performers, and your two worst performers in the Dow were GE and American Express. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Skyworks Solutions and CF Industries, and the worst performers were Bristol-Myers and Transden. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 22 cents at $109.99, CSX down $1.18 at $44.33, AEP up 20 cents at $62.90, AK Steel was unchanged at $9.52, Marathon Petroleum was up 38 cents at $48.75, and Kroger was down 16 cents to finish at $34.10. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a final look at the weather report for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Saturday, warm and mostly cloudy with isolated showers late in the morning, then scattered showers in the afternoon. Highs will be near 65 degrees and the chance of rain is at 40%. For Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Lows in the upper 40s and the chance of rain is at 50%. For Sunday, cloudy with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Highs will be near 63 degrees and the chance of rain is at 50%. Sunday night, cloudy with showers likely. Lows in the upper 40s and the chance of rain is at 60%. Monday, cloudy with showers likely. Highs will be in the lower 50s, chance of rain 60%. And Monday night, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain showers. Lows around 40 degrees. And it is currently 64 degrees in Moorhead. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Chaz Jenkins, Brian Courtney, and Tilden Johnson. From Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen, and our feature came from MSU Professor John Modath. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Courtney Howell and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.